You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Thank God you're in church today. A lot of great churches around our community, you know, and we're not in competition. We've got some tremendous churches in our town, and this is one of them. Hallelujah. You came here, and we thank God you're here. We pray that you've been blessed. We pray that you're going to be blessed by the message. My prayer is that you walk out of church better than you came in. Amen. That may be that you got convicted about sin. That's good. Conviction's a good thing. Condemnation's bad, but conviction's good. It may be that you're corrected and rebuked for something you're doing wrong, but it's in love, and the Scripture is for that purpose. It's to correct us and rebuke us in love. God doesn't hate us. Right. See, condemnation is you're no good, you're sorry dog, you've never done a good thing in your life, you hate your mama, you hate your papa, but I love you, God loves you, God bless you, dirty, rotten little hearts. That's condemnation. Conviction is you're better than this. You can come out of this. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can overcome that sin. Stand up. Be counted. Call on God. Serve God. He can help you. He can strengthen you. You can overcome it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're more than a conqueror through Him that loved you. He gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. He always calls us to triumph in Christ. And greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. The gates open. What are you doing in a prison? Come on out of there.
Amen.
Now that's conviction for your sin, but that's not condemnation. And there's nobody out here hopeless, and there's nobody out here helpless. And if you know Jesus, there's nobody out here alone. You've never been alone a day in your life since you got saved. Never. And maybe you're in sin, but you can come out of that sin. You can come out of that sin. You can do it. Hallelujah. So that's a good thing. I mean, if you hear that, then you're hearing it right. If you're hearing it from the standpoint that you can't make it and you're no good and we're condemning you, no, we're not condemning. We've got no stones to throw. Are you kidding? I have no stones to throw here. I was lost too. Hello. We all were. So we don't look down on people. But church is a place where you can be restored, convicted, but restored. That's a good thing. And you walk out of here free. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Isn't that good? Yes. And of course, you can be charged up, challenged, and changed by the Word. Church should be a place where you're moved to serve God, moved to holiness, moved to come closer, to come on in a little closer. Get a little closer to Him. Church is a place where you are corrected. Sure, you want to improve. None of us are perfect. And we need to repent of sin, and we need to get closer to God. That's a good thing. A place of healing. A place of deliverance. A place where we get our marching orders. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, well, that was just treading water. Y'all turn with me to Mark 4th chapter. Mark chapter 4. I just want to teach a basic message on the importance of the Word. Just, you know, on the importance of the Word 101, I guess you'd say. Last night we had a Saturday night service, and it was just an awesome service. It was great. Good worship. Good praise. Good Word. Great teacher. Man, I love that guy. Y'all stay with me. But I taught last night on Isaiah 55 where it talks about the 10th, 11th verse there where it says, as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven returns not thither, but waters the earth and make it bring forth in bud that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. And so we just took that as talking about the importance of God's word, that God's word is like water to dry land. God's word to your soul is like water to dry land. The purpose of God's word is the same as the purpose of water and ground. It's to make you increase. It brings increase in your life. It brings life to a dry life. In fact, if your life was without purpose, without meaning, and you're tired of the way you're living, you need to get in the Word of God. You need to get the Word of God in you. You need to come to Jesus. Hallelujah. And what will happen is, like seed in the ground, it will begin to produce things. We as Christians are here to produce. We're here to make a difference. We're here to shine our light. We're here to see some change. The world needs to see changes in us, good things happening. We're farmers in one respect. We take God's word, we plant it, and we reap a harvest off what we plant. And so we don't just brag on the ground. You know, a farmer doesn't take you out and just look at the ground and say, look at the ground. Well, what are you growing? Well, I'm not growing anything. I just got ground. Isn't that wonderful? I'm a farmer. No, farmers do something with ground. And yes, we're saved, and I'm glad to be saved, and thank God I'm going to heaven. But you know, I ought to be planting things in this ground. We ought to be growing some things in this ground. Ought to be some changes going on in this ground. Now, if I don't do anything, things will grow, but it'll be weeds and thorns and thistles. But if I selectively, as a farmer does, grab God's word, take His promises, and plant them in my life, then I can choose the direction of my life, my family, my business, ministry, whatever the case may be. You know, take selectively God's word and plant it in my life. Put a stake up on the end of that row and say, we're going to grow Love right here on this roof. What's love got to do with it? Everything. Okay. Contrary to what you might think, it's not a secondhand emotion. We're talking about the love of God. I can plant some love in my life. Amen?
Yes.
I can plant some peace in my life.
Amen.
I used to pick peas. No. Yeah, that's another story. Anyway, okay. I can plant, you know, I can plant healing if that's the case. Maybe it doesn't look like it. Maybe it just looks like barren ground, but there's seed in that ground, and praise God, I can put the stake up and put the sign on the stake and say, healing is coming up in that row.
Amen.
And somebody can come by and say, well, it sure doesn't look like it. Yeah, but you don't know what I got in that ground. It's coming up. Hallelujah. And you say, well, you're crazy prophesying your future like that. Well, every farmer does it. But the farmer does it understanding principles, knowing what he's done. And if you'll put the Word of God in your life, you can begin to prophesy your future too.
Amen.
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 I'm talking about finding out what God says, doing what God says. If you prayed about something, turn it over to the Lord, you know how it's going to turn out. Isn't that correct? It doesn't matter how it looks. It may look like barren ground, but there's seed in that ground. And you keep watering that, it's going to start coming up. First blade, then the stalk, then the corn, and the full corn, you know. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory. Y'all ready for Mark 4?
Yes.
Mark 4 chapter. Jesus teaching. This is good. The first verse is, and again he began to teach. Everyone say teach. This is really important. Jesus did a tremendous amount of teaching. We talk about preaching. Preaching is important. It's biblical, no question. I think of preaching more like evangelistic maybe, or maybe a little elevation in the voice or whatever. Sometimes that preach gets on me. I'm basically a teacher. But Jesus did teach more than he just preached. We need good preaching, but we also need good teaching. You know, preaching may proclaim. Teaching would explain. Teaching gets down the nitty-gritty. Teaching takes it apart. Teaching dissects. It gives us the whys and the wherefores. It gives us understanding of what's going on. Instead of just repetitive going through motions that we've heard preached, we are now understanding why this is so. Because teaching will expound and explain. And Jesus did that in many cases. In fact, he would just narrow it down. He would teach a while, and then he'd get with his disciples, and he'd teach them a little more. He'd take the same things that he taught, even in this case, and take it apart, because they would ask him more questions. I think it's very significant that when they ask him to explain something, he would always explain a little further. This is profound. Stay with me. If you're not getting it, why don't you pray and ask God to help you? You know what? God will begin to explain it to you more and more. And you can have as much as you want. You can know as much as you want. You can get as close to Jesus as you want to get. It's your choice. Amen? It says, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it in the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Now, this was his sound system. I mean, he understood the laws of acoustics, I guess you'd say, and sound traveled better over across the sea. You know, Jesus would sit on a mountainside because it carries better. He'd get on a boat and talk across the water because it carries better. More people could hear him that way. Hello. I mean, come on. It's okay to bring your brain in when you come to church. No, really, it's okay. Most of us kind of check it out the door and then walk in. You know, but you can actually think in here. It's okay. You know, the Bible says don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think. Okay. Second verse, then he taught them many things by parables. And said to them in his teaching, and this is the parable of the sower and the seed. Real familiar, real common. Most of us have heard it. You know, he talks about four types of ground. He says, listen, behold, a sower went to sow. So you can imagine a man with a bag of seeds, and he's throwing these seeds out. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. And some fell by stony ground, or on stony ground, where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. No depth. A lot of us sometimes don't have any depth. We just don't get it. And when the sun was up and it was scorched, because it had no root, it withered away. It wasn't really in there good. That seed wasn't in there solid. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now that's the parable of the sower. And that's insightful, just as it is, as we just read it. But Jesus went on to explain it even in more detail. Are you with me? First of all, we see four types of ground. We see a man sowing seed. And we see four types of ground. I always wondered, there's basically two questions you can ask yourself when you read this. What kind of ground am I? And then you could turn it around and say, what kind of ground should I concentrate sowing my seed in? Now, obviously, we sow seed everywhere. But, you know, we do concentrate our seed more concentrated in good ground. That's why church, I probably preach more in church than do anywhere, because there's more receptive hearts, more receptive ground. And even in church, you bring it on down, you've got leaders in a church that you spend more time with, just like Jesus preached to everybody, but he preached more to his 12 disciples than anybody. And then he had an inner circle even then. Because any farmer is going to concentrate most of his sowing in good ground. Because the point of it is to bring a harvest. That went over real big. Now, don't take that in the wrong way. We preach to everybody, obviously. We go to all the world and preach the gospel. But we also find receptiveness and we center in on that. We find good ground and we center in. We put most of our focus in that area. Why would you spend all your time where there's no good being done? You want to spend your time where the most good's being done. Cutting nobody off, but we concentrate our efforts mostly on... And seed's going to fall over to all kinds of places. I mean, a farmer, when he goes out and plants, listen, he plants in good ground. That's where he plants. But in planting good ground, there's rocks on the side. There's a wayside over here. There's a place where people tread and walk. Seed falls over on that. He hardly gets much production from that, and that's what the parable's telling us.
Yeah. Amen.
Good. Woo! Hallelujah. Now, I can come to church and be any kind of ground I want to be. But the kind of ground I choose to be is going to determine the outcome of that seed that I hear. That sermon that I hear. You can come to church all messed up and all mad and all upset about something, not paying a bit of attention to the sermon, and it won't do you any good. It'll bounce right off of you. You can come hungry, wanting to hear something from heaven, willing to change, and I'm telling you, you'll be good ground. That seed will get in you, and it'll make a difference. I really firmly believe that's why we should do praise and worship before the Word. The Bible doesn't really tell us one way or the other. It doesn't define for us how a service should be held. It tells us they do sing. It tells us they do preach. But it doesn't really say what goes first or second or third. But it seems to me that when you worship first, you soften up your heart.
Yeah.
Just like you till up ground.
Right.
Are you with me?
Amen.
You get your focus on God instead of the things that are going on in your life during the day or during the parking lot, maybe. You're just coming in. Maybe you slapped your kids for the last time in that car before you got out and came in church. Hello. And then come in here. All holy, you know. Maybe you and your wife had it out. I don't know. I hope not. But, I mean, those things happen, and they happen with church people. Okay? They do. Yeah, I've heard stories. But anyway, when you come in here and we worship, what happens? That stuff just starts falling away, doesn't it? I mean, we start getting our focus right. God's good. Oh, He's so good. He's so faithful. We hear these testimonies, you know, about how good God is, and it just breaks our heart in a good way. You know, we start softening up. Breaks up the ground, hallelujah, starts softening up. Then I come in here with the Word, we're ready. We're ready, man. Come on with it. I want to hear what God has to say. Yeah, I need God in my life. I need Him to change me. Yes, I do. You know, your ground is getting tilled up. You have to prepare ground for seed. Because if you don't take any time to prepare for seed, then seed doesn't stick. It just bounces off. That's why we need to be worshipers of God. That's why we need to love God. That's why we need to repent of our sin. Are you with me? It determines the harvest. It determines the outcome of God's Word in our life. So Jesus, in giving this parable, He says in the 9th verse, He said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." I like that. You can have ears and not have ears to hear. You can come here with ears that are not able to hear. You can come here with ears that are able to hear. A hearing ear, I've heard it said this way, is an acronym, E-A-R, is to expect, to anticipate, and receive. So you come in here with that kind of ear, expecting, anticipating, you will receive.
Amen.
That's a hearing ear. If you just came because, well, you know, that's what we do, we go to church. Just our deal, that's what we do. We're Americans. We go to church on Sunday. Hello. Done it all my life. That's what Pappy did. That's what Grandpappy did. We all went to church, and here I am. I'm in church. Because, bless God, that's what we do. Good old boy. Just a good old boy, you know. Well, now, wait a minute. I think you ought to go to church. I have no problem with that at all. But I come to church with a purpose. I come expecting. I come wanting to change. I come with really two things in mind. I come hungry, and I come willing to change. I am hungry for more of God. I want to know more about Him. I want to find out more about Him. I want to know what He's doing in the earth today. The more I know about Him, the more I know about myself. And the more I know about the world that I live in. See, the more I know about Him, the more I know about everything else. I think C.S. Lewis said this about the sun. He says, I don't believe so much in the sun because I see it, but because of it, I see everything else. And the more I see Him, the more I understand everything else. Because He is the light by which we see and understand. So we come with the right attitude. What you bring to the table determines what you leave with. If you don't bring a fork and you don't bring a knife, you're not going to leave with a whole lot. But the question would be, why did you come to the table to start with?
Right.
Surely you came to eat, didn't you?
Come on.
Oh, quit preaching. Got the meddling now. Ooh. Come on, preacher. Come on. That is conviction, not condemnation. Stay with me. We come with a purpose. We come, man, I got to hear from heaven. You know, I need God's wisdom to be a husband to my wife. I need the wisdom of God to be a father to my children. I need God to speak to me. There are some things I can improve on. I need to hear from heaven. You know, maybe I was raised right, maybe I wasn't raised right. But one thing for sure, we just don't know it all, and we're always improving, or we should be, in God. Amen? And so there's always something I can learn, something I can glean from this. I need some seed. I need something growing in me. And growth comes from what you plant. And if you don't plant anything, you're not going to get anything. Well, the sad news is, if you don't plant anything, something's going to get planted. That's a sad thing. Because there's hardly any barren ground. The ground has something in it. Usually it's going to be weeds and all kinds of thorns. Because seeds come from just being in the world. But the difference between just going through life and just floating down the river of life and swimming upstream like a live fish, the difference between those two scenarios is that as getting the Word of God and planting it makes me a farmer with a purpose. And not doing anything at all is just having a vacant lot. It's useless. And a bunch of junk grows up, and it's just amazing how big a mess it can get. If you've ever a bush hog or brush hog, you know, I used to say brush hog where I came from in East Texas, and it was Brahma bulls, not Brahma. But anyway, that's where I came from, deep East Texas. If you ever brush hogged a place, and Philly and bush hog, if that's what you like to say, if you've ever done that, and you don't do it very often, and you wait a few years, man, trees grow up. Unless you got a big brush hog to knock those things down, you know, you're going to have to get a chainsaw if you wait too long. So it's kind of daily maintenance or monthly maintenance or, you know, every year you got to go brush hog places. You got to, sometimes several times a year, depending on top ground. Because if you don't, it won't just grow a few weeds. I mean, you'll have a forest out there in a few years. It's amazing how it gets away from you because you're not taking care of it. Hello. Things do grow in your life. All we're saying and all God's saying is, let's choose what's growing there. Life is a series of choices, not chance. If you're running on chance, you're in trouble. Anything left to itself is going to deteriorate. I mean, you can put a post out in the middle of the field, paint it white, and leave it by itself. It'll always deteriorate and turn colors. It'll start turning black. Left to itself. Any piece of ground left to itself. It's never going to produce what God wants it to produce. God even put man in the garden to till it and dress it and keep it because you need a man in a garden, a human being, a person. And you need to look out for your life and watch where you're going and take the Word of God and start planting seeds and start rooting out the wrong things that you see in your life. Root out bitterness, as it were. Cast down imaginations and high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. If you see yourself getting more bitter, you better watch that. You better root that out and plant you some peace in there. Are you with me? Be a good farmer. Plan your life out with the Word. Be like Joshua stood up and said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. So Jesus explains this parable in the 13th verse. And He said to them, Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? I love that because He actually uses this as a basis for all parables. Sowing and reaping is the way God operates. Always has, always will. I don't care if it's love, friendship, or hate, or whatever the case may be. Whatever you sow, you are going to reap.
Right.
Even us being saved, you know, we didn't get saved without a price being paid. God gave His Son for us to come back to Him. For God to even receive us, He had to give something. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God had to plant a seed to get the harvest of the church, even.
Yeah.
It's always been that way. God's always... you think of God in terms of agricultural terms, you know, growth, life, and so on. If you have a need, you plant a seed. Isn't that right? I mean, if you want watermelons, you go plant watermelons. You want corn, you go plant corn. You want lima beans? I can't imagine anybody want lima beans, but if you did want some, you'd have to plant lima beans. Just something I don't care much about, but that's okay. But you get what you plant. Amen? If you don't like the way your life's going, you know what? You need to back up a little bit. Somewhere down the line, you planted the wrong thing. Now, here's what you need to do. Get out the chainsaw if you need to. Hello? Start cutting down some of those trees that are growing in your life and go back and plant what you want to be growing in your life.
Amen.
Woo! Okay, 13th verse. Well, 14th verse. He said, the sower sows the word. So we don't have to speculate here. This is not conjecture. This is not Michael Williams explaining to you something, his own opinion. Opinions like elbows. Everybody's got a couple of them. But this is God saying, Jesus himself saying, the sower sows the word. I love that. Man, that means what? The word is seed, isn't it?
Yes.
Wow. I've got a seed bag here. Do you know this is a seed bag? You're carrying around in your arms a seed bag, right in your house or in your hands or, you know, in your car, truck, whatever. You've got a seed bag. It's full of seeds. It is full of seeds. But you know what? It's an amazing thing about seeds. They're no good unless you plant them. They are no good unless you do something with it, unless you take them and put them in the ground purposely and water them and watch over them and weed around them, because weeds come in after you plant seeds sometimes. And that's the point he's making over and over here. There's birds that come down and try to get it. So you have to protect seed. You have to guard it, watch over like a treasure. Whatever God says, whatever his promise is, whatever it is you're planting in your life, you have to guard over it. You have to water it. You have to weed out around it. When negativity comes in, go out there with your hoe. Weed it out. When temptations come against it. Woo! So is the word. Seeds. Words are seeds. Wow. These are promises or seeds. What God says he will do? Seeds. Seeds are only good when they get in the ground. As long as they're in the bag, they don't produce. That's what he said in Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. As the rain comes down, the snow from heaven washes the earth and returns not thither, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. It shall not return to me void. It will accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing. Where does the word prosper? In the thing where God sent it. God's word won't prosper out here. It prospers in her, here. You know, David said, Psalms 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You put God's word in your heart, it's like a seed. And it will begin to produce. And what's the fruit of your life, what's producing in your life, what's coming out of your life, is a product of what you've been planting in your life.
Exactly.
Jesus said in Matthew 12, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Think about it. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring forth good things, Jesus said. An evil man out of the evil brings forth evil. And then he talks to those Pharisees, says lovingly, so kindly, like Jesus always did. He said, O generation of vipers, you bunch of snakes. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He was telling them they had been putting hatefulness, bitterness, corruptness, pride, arrogance in their life. And you know what? It was no secret. We all saw it, because whatever you put in the ground is going to grow. Just like a farmer, you can go by and you can see a crop. Listen, we know what he planted. How? Because what it's growing there. Real basic, real simple. So if we're growing something that's not right, you've got to back up and say, you know what? I've been planting the wrong thing. I've been selecting the wrong seed. I need to root that out and put some good seed in there. And then, of course, you know, once you find that seed, then put it in good ground. Prepare your heart. Get your heart right. Because this is what happens. The sower sows the seed. 15th verse. These are the ones that are sown by the wayside, where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now the wayside's really, it's just like it's where people walked. You know, if you have a field that you've planted, usually around the fence line, you know, you've got a place where you can drive your tractor. You go down the rows and you turn down. On a smaller scale, you've got a place where you can walk. a garden and you're throwing your seed out here, but it's tread down. It's trampled. It's a lot of traffic. There's a lot of world involved there. It's the wayside. It's where everybody's treading the ground down. Nothing's growing there because it's just stomped down and tread down. Hello. Trampled on. Just the world in one sense. And it doesn't produce much. And so he's saying here that what happens, because it's so many people so worldly, so many people going that way, the word never really takes precedence and the devil comes immediately and steals it. He likened it when he first told the parable as birds coming down. My daddy, after he retired from the military, we moved back to my hometown, Center, Texas, and he raised watermelons. He's got two brothers, or had two brothers, and they were farmers, and they raised watermelons. And my dad still lives 4 miles down a dirt road in Center, Texas. And we raised watermelons during the summer and big patches of watermelons. And, of course, they would drop me off. Dad would drop me off and before the sun comes up to go out there and watch the crows or hoe watermelons and watch crows. We'd hoe and then we'd watch crows because crows would eat the watermelons. But not just after they start growing. This is amazing. We actually had peas we planted and corn that we planted. We had pea patches and corn patches. And you could go and plant a row of corn and go get lunch, you know, drive off in the pickup and get lunch or go back down the road to the house and come back, and you would see crows walking down the row picking that corn out of the ground. Anybody ever seen that?
Yeah.
They will actually pick it right up out of the ground. It just amazed me. In fact, that's, you know, when I got saved later and read the Bible, I began to see, oh, yeah, I've seen that happen. And really, it's the easiest time for the crow.
Oh, yeah.
Because everything's real fresh. It hasn't taken root yet. And when you first get saved, it's an easy time for the devil. That's why you've got to really watch yourself and get in church. Are you with me? When someone first gets a hold of something, gets a hold of the Word, gets a revelation of God, you know, that's a very critical time. You need to stay stable. You need to stay with it because the devil's going to come. There's always a counterattack. The birds, the crows are going to come. And I was amazed at the accuracy. I mean, I've come up on them and you'd see them walking down that road and take a couple of paces. Hit another one. They knew exactly where that corn was. I mean, they just hit it. I believe crows are the smartest birds in the world. Not the owl. I believe the crow is. I used to watch crows in a watermelon patch. I'd sit out in the middle of the patch with my shotgun. Of course, my uncles all paid me $1 apiece for a crow, and believe me, I did not get rich that summer. Made a few bucks, but not a... The only way I did it, I'd keep the crow and take it to each one of them, get $1 from each one of them, and then I'd throw it away. But anyway, that's BC, before Christ. But anyway, I'd sit out in the middle of the patch, and I would notice as the days go by that all those watermelons would be eaten up around the edge of the patch. And I think, what in the world's going on? I've been sitting there watching these things all day. So one day I got off in the woods and sat out. And I watched. They'd fly in the woods and land in the woods and walk out of the woods.
Yeah.
It's the smartest bird in the world. You know, they figured out I was out there. Oh, hey, he's there. And they go, oh, okay, we'll go on down in the woods and we'll walk in. You know, they had a plan and they come walking in, you know. So I started sitting on the edge of the woods. That's when I started making a little money. But anyway. But you can rest assured it's going to happen even if you get a revelation today. If something comes alive to you today, you can rest assured there's going to be a counterattack. Just be aware of it. That's all right. No problem. It's going to come. We're ready for it. The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. James 4:7. Amen.
Yep.
You know, I read another book, C.S. Lewis, Screwtape Letters. It was a good one. And it was about this uncle demon named Screwtape, and he had a nephew. I forgot his name. But anyway, the whole thing was about this nephew tempting this man. And he would report back to his uncle, to the headquarters down below. And God was called the enemy above, and the devil was the father below. Everything was twisted. It was just twisted. But it was so insightful. And this demon had come to the uncle demon and says, oh, I've got him in this sin. I'm so proud. I'm so excited. I got this man to commit this great sin. He'd gotten saved, see, the guy had, and they were really tempting him. And the uncle demon says, oh, you're so excited about this great sin. Big deal. We don't care how big the sin is. It was really insightful because he wrote it from the perspective of the devil, but it was actually giving us insight in how the devil operates. And he said, you're so excited about this great sin you got this Christian in. He said, we don't care how great the sin is. He said, we've got one purpose in mind, and that's to move him away from the Word. No offense, Dick, but he said, if fishing will do it, that's fine. I know Dick loves fishing. Hello. It doesn't have to be a great sin. In fact, most of us are not going to fall for a great sin anyway. it's going to be something subtle. Something that just kind of pushes us away from God and away from the Word. Because if the devil can get you away from the Word, he's got you laying your sword down. He's got you laying your shield down. Are you with me? So we've got to protect that. We've got to guard that. Because if the devil, or if anybody can keep a farmer from planting seed, he's got him. His days are numbered. Let me tell you. If that farmer quits planting seed, it's just a matter of time. He's going under. He's got to plant seed. Because that's his life. That's where the harvest comes from. And so we as Christians, we got to guard this thing. We got to watch our heart. I mean, we can't just be that seed just stomped on, tread on. And No. Let's have some better ground than that. Amen?
Amen.
16th verse. I'll run through this a little quicker here. I spent a lot of time on the first kind of ground. But 16th verse. These likewise are those sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. We get real excited. It's more emotional. It's not really an intelligent decision. It's not a weighed, valued decision. We're just kind of hyped. We're in emotion. You know, people can get hyped up in a service. I can put a little sugar on this sermon, get you excited. Can you say amen, somebody? Woo! You know, before long, we're shouting and hollering. That's all well and good, and that's fine. I think some people are anointed to do that. But at one point, the dust has to settle. And then we walk out of here and we go our merry ways. Now, I love that anointing comes on. Sometimes it's anointing. Sometimes it's just hype. Are you with me? You can't run on hype. Can't run on emotion. I don't like emotional giving. Sometimes work up the crowd, get the money. Well, my goodness, it's emotion. That's not right. You need to be prayerful about that. You need to do it out of your heart, willfully, and so on and so forth. Serving God should be that way. Hey, we get excited. I love getting excited about God. I do. But also know that this is right. This is the right thing to do.
Amen.
This is the most intelligent thing I've ever done, is serve God. And so when I don't feel really excited, I still know it's the right thing to do. Amen?
Amen.
And so here they were, but they didn't have any stabilization in them. They weren't stable, see? The ground was like a rock. They heard the word. They got all excited about it, but they didn't realize they were going to be tempted. Oh, they didn't realize everybody wasn't going to be excited with them when they left the church. They didn't realize everybody didn't think they were the greatest thing since sliced bread after they got saved. I had one of my aunts was upset with me because I joined the wrong church after I got saved. And I told her, I said, and she was Christian in a good church that she was in, you know, when I went to another church. And I said, well, did you want me to stay on drugs? I'm confused. Oh, well, no, I'm glad you got delivered from drugs. I'm glad you got out of all that. But why'd you go join that church? I thought everybody just be happy, you know. I lost all my friends when I got saved, but they weren't my friends. So I started ministering to them, and a lot of them got saved. And they really became my friends then. Are you with me? You're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. I mean, the devil's after. He hates you. You know, you need to figure that out. The devil didn't like you. So they were sown on stony ground, and when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness, and then they have no root in themselves. And they endure for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. There's going to be a time of testing and trial, I can tell you that. There's going to be people making fun of you, I can tell you that. That's just part of life. There's going to be people think you're crazy. But you know, I learned this a long time ago. Before I got saved, they thought I was crazy then. Now that I'm saved, there's still people think I'm crazy. I don't care what you do, there are people that think you're crazy. I don't care what you commit to, there are going to be those against it, and there's going to be those for it. So why don't you just do the right thing? Just do what's right. Get a hold of the Word. Serve God. And if people rejoice, fine. If they don't, that's okay. Jesus said, woe be unto you when all men speak well of you anyway. If everybody's speaking well of you, something must be wrong. There should be some people that are opposing you. Now, I'm not saying go look for them and try to make it happen. It's going to happen, you know, whether you try or not. But realize it is going to come. I mean, you got to have root in your roots deep in the Word. That takes time. Did you know that?
Amen.
You may stumble, you may fall. Don't beat yourself over the head. Just stand back up and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to do better next time. Repent. And you know, but years go by, you get a little more stable. We're talking about a lifestyle, a lifetime of serving God, being some good ground here. You know, we raised some cantaloupes one year back behind our house. We just planted about 3 acres of cantaloupes where we are now. And, you know, it was just, we had rain. It was just wonderful. And put those Magnum 45s in their head, all those kids out there hoeing. I'm just teaching them how to be a farmer. You know? And they're just hating me every minute. But anyway, so I'm planting all these cantaloupes. You know, we hoe those cantaloupes. It was just wonderful. Just marvelous. I was thinking about, you know, when I was younger and, you know, I had all these dreams. Listen, I'm not going back there. You can forget it. I'm going forward. But anyway, I tried. It didn't work. I planted those 3 acres, and we had the most beautiful plants you've ever seen in your life. The rains came down, and it was just wonderful, and they were just marvelous. They just filled those rows, beautiful plants, you know, just, oh, awesome green. Here comes the cantaloupes. Oh, just amazing. And it quit raining. I mean, it quit raining. And it didn't rain for weeks and weeks. And the sun came out. And immediately, they were offended. And because they had no root in themselves. Because they didn't have any roots. You know why? Because they had all that water. It was so good. Life was so wonderful. The roots were just on top of the ground. That's the way plants do. You know, they just look for water. And they don't have to dig deep. They just stay on top of the ground. Well, they had all that water, and those roots were just on top of the ground. And immediately, I'll tell you, when the sun started coming out and weeks went by, they just started drying up and drying up. And I mean, I lost a lot of money that year. But anyway, I think I wound up paying for the seed. I don't know. We got a few pickup loads out of the deal, but it should have had a whole bunch out of the deal. But I saw this parable in action. I saw that part, how true it is. If you don't have roots deep, the rain's not always going to be there. There's going to be tough times. We live in a broken, fallen world. You're going to have to dig down deep. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I love that. Plant yourself in the Word. Amen. Planted by the rivers of water, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. I love that. God will bless you if you have your roots deep. But if you don't have them deep, you're just stony ground. This is not surface teaching. This should get down to the roots of your being, your soul. You need to realize there's a battle going on for your soul. There's a battle going on for your family. There's a battle going on for your marriage. There's a battle going on. You've got an enemy. He's the devil. You don't need to be afraid of him. You just need to be aware of him. You need to respect him in that respect. But if you'll submit to God and realize you're in a fight, you'll win this battle. You win it with the Word. Amen. So he goes on and says this, 18th verse, now these are they sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Jesus has got to be first place in your life. First place in your family, first place in your marriage, first place in your business. Or else other things will creep in and choke out the word. I love to fish. I love to hunt. But hunting can't take place of serving God. Fishing can't take place of serving God. In fact, if I go hunting, I talk about Jesus. I remember when I shot that 8-point buck in Mineola. I'll tell you all about it. But anyway, and I shot that 8-point buck in Mineola with my bow. Over 10 years ago, I guess it was. Probably 15 years ago. I had my New Testament with me in the tree stand. And I was reading the book of Matthew. I remember I was reading the book of Matthew when that big buck came in. Because I prayed, Lord, giveth me some venison. And yea, before I called, he answered, and here it came. And he got in, and I lined up, and I hammered him, you know, and I was so happy, I was so excited, but I was, you know, you always wait a little bit. I heard him go out there and fall in the woods, you know. And so I opened my New Testament up, was reading my New Testament. Loved to hunt, but, you know, I had my Bible with me. I was reading my Bible. And, you know, and anyway, y'all come by my house, I'll show you. I got it mounted on my fireplace. Yeah. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with hunting. There's nothing wrong with fishing. There's nothing wrong with doing all kinds of things. Keep Jesus first. Don't let anything choke out the Word. Like thorns and thistles will choke it out. In fact, if you look at this, there's actually 5 things he mentions here that will get you to give up on the Word. 17th verse, tribulation and persecution. 19th verse, cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and desires of other things entering in. They choke the Word. Watch those 5 things in your life. And your seed will produce. And you'll have the right harvest. Amen? Amen. And you'll be that fourth ground. 20th verse. These are the ones sown on good ground. Everybody say, I'm good ground. Amen. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Whoa. Man, that's good. They hear it, they accept it, and they bear fruit. We are not about just having saved, sacred ground. We're about producing things in this saved, sacred ground. And the question is, what are we producing? Let's not just show off the barren ground that we have here that's saved and sacred. Let's produce things in the barren ground. Let's take the Word and put it in our lives, and let's bring some fruit forth. That's what God's wanting us to do. And, of course, that could be souls. That could also be love. That could be character changes. That could be, you know, that demeanor that of your life. Your life may be a misdemeanor. I don't know. But, you need to improve. Start walking holy. Have some fruit. Plant some seeds. Get some harvest. Woo! Be that ground that produces that. Well, how do I do that? Get the seeds. Get your seed bag out. He said, man, I'm just having so much trouble in this area. Find out what God says about that. Get those seeds, get that promise, and plant it in your life. Well, I'm finding a battle of depression here. Well, let me tell you something. That will keep him a perfect peace of mind and state on the Isaiah 26:3. John 14:27 says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Are you with me? There are several scriptures that you can plant in your life that will bring a harvest of peace in your life. Maybe you're having financial poverty or problems with finances. You ain't got any money, okay? Got tongue table. You need help in that area. God's not opposed to you prospering. That's fine. You just don't love money. If you love God, you can have money. Start quoting the Word concerning money. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want or I shall not lack. Psalms 23:1. Psalms 34:10, it says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want for any good thing. Are you with me? And all, there's so many scriptures that he daily loads us with benefits. He forget not all his benefits, the Bible says. And let the Psalms 35:27 says, let them shout for joy that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them continually say, let the Lord be magnified that takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. I mean, get some seed and plant it in your life. And bring a harvest. Protect it, guard it, water it, talk it. Amen. Maybe you need some help in your marriage. Find some good scriptures on that. Plant those. See, put a stake out there on that row and say, this is what's going to grow here. I don't care what it looks like. This is what I planted, and this is what's going to come to pass. Be selective. Have a purpose about your life. Make some choices in your life. And choose God's Word. Yeah. Be good ground. Yeah. Receive it. And protect it and guard it, and you'll bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Amen? Four types of ground, your choice, which one you want to be. I choose to be good ground. Amen? Hallelujah. And you can too.